Tappers. Hey, it is the Monday edition of the Daily Tap for June 1st. Crazy, we are in the month of June. It is a tough day in America. I think everybody is reeling in their own way. And I think the riots over the weekend were maybe the final boss of everything that has been happening in the world for the last few months. And it's really brought on a lot of reflection and a lot of commentary. And I don't exactly think sports is a thing to be talking about right now. I don't know. I thought about it long and hard, and I said, you know what? I really don't think this is the time with all that is happening. And you know everything by now. You know George Floyd. You know what started in Minneapolis and spread across the country. And those who were trying to peacefully protest in the memory of George Floyd, in honoring George Floyd, in trying to ensure that this doesn't happen again, got ransacked by a lot of different bad characters. And the riots started. And I think it's time to kind of talk about a lot of things. And I will tell you right now, I am a person of privilege. I am in no way, shape, or form probably the person you should be listening to first. Use me as commentary, but I definitely think there are other people you could find who know and are much more smarter than me. I grew up in a cream cheese suburban area. I did not have any sort of racial diversity on my block. I think we had one Indian couple. That was about it. And we saw them every now and again. They were nice people, but we didn't really interact much. Their kids, I think, were a little younger than I was, both daughters, I believe. So we did not really talk much, have much interaction with them. And I believe they moved at some point. I can't remember when. But so we really didn't have much growing up. Tulsa, you know, with Chapter 220 and some other things, we did have a decent amount of diversity at our schools. I had a lot of black teammates, whether it was football or basketball or other sports that I played throughout the years. And yeah, that was probably my most exposure to different cultures. But then, I mean, I was a kid. I didn't really know much. And then I went to a college at Eau Claire where there really isn't much diversity either. We had one teammate who was black. He was a senior when I was a freshman, now actually working in Minneapolis, funny enough. And there wasn't much. There wasn't much there as well. So I do not have the experiences that others do. And now there are a lot of people have said that if you were not silent, if you were silent, that somehow made you a racist. I never bought into that. I never felt like that was the right thing. I don't believe that at all. Not everybody has to give their opinion. And we'll talk a little bit more about social media activism later in this program. But I do want to say that, you know, I was in support all the way. And I was in support with every peaceful protest that there was, and that I was in support with getting out the message. I am not support in looting businesses. I'm not in support of, you know, terrorizing, you know, minority-owned businesses or any businesses of that fact and breaking windows and causing significant damage at a time where the numbers are down across the board and people are struggling in so many different things because of the pandemic that is going on. That I can't get down with. So I'm going to talk about a few things that are on my mind. And if you don't want to listen and this is not your thing, feel free. Turn it off. Just, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk sports. I'm not going to drag this out, even though it's a day-to-day thing. I just really am not. I want to talk about it because I feel like this is what everybody should be talking about. This is not necessarily a, hey, I'm not sticking to sports, because I fucking hate that term, okay? I absolutely detest that term. Stick to sports is the cousin of stay classy, okay? And it is a term that is overused. It is overdone. And it is something like you want a badge of honor because you didn't stick to fucking sports. Congratulations. Okay? So this isn't what that's about. It's rather what I think my audience is going through. And a lot of you are like me, whether you are Caucasian, whether you are Black, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're Asian, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm sure we're all sort of feeling this. I was so fucking sad last night. And I was upset. And just so many emotions, right? And I just haven't really been tweeting that much because, you know what? I didn't think you needed my voice. And I'm podcasting today because you guys expect podcasts from me on a daily. So that's what I'm trying to do here. And we're going to go through a lot of things. And again, if you don't feel like you want to hear this from me, cool. We're going to talk hoops on Tuesday. We'll see you then. But if you guys want to go along with this ride with me, go. Let's do it. Let's get into it. So a lot of talk has been around defund the police or, you know, limit the police's powers and that the police are the problem. And I do think that there are certain police members that are really the problem. I agree with the notion that I was talking to some friends about that basically, you know, there is not an occupation that gets painted with a broader brush. That it is every cop is an asshole, every cop is a meathead, every cop is not out for your best interest. There are a lot of bad dudes. And I know that some people say, I saw a protest sign, like some jobs can't have bad apples. Well, unfortunately, like all jobs do have those bad people. It's rare that you see a organization where there isn't somebody who's corrupt or self-interested or discriminatory. Unfortunately, we do not live in a perfect world. Not everything is rainbows and unicorns. I'd love for us to be all good-natured individuals, but that's just not life. And I know that might seem cynical, but unfortunately, it's not. It's, in fact, I think very real. The discussion that needs to be had that isn't being talked about, and maybe it will today. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I like to think that we're always a little bit ahead of the curve in sports. Maybe we are in you know, something that will be talked about until the election, right? But we need to figure out a way to limit the power of police unions. Now, that's a very tricky topic, extremely tricky. But that is the root of this cause. Derek Chauvin, who was the murderer of George Floyd, who held his knee on Floyd's neck for 9 minutes, he had 17 prior complaints against him. 17. That's not just like one fuck up, right? That's not like two fuck ups. 17. And he still had a job. He still kept his job. That's ridiculous. No one can fuck up 17 times in a job and keep their job. The reason Chauvin got to keep his job was because of a police union. Police unions are very powerful. They are one of the most powerful public unions, especially in larger cities. They are ones that yield significant political power. They are very impactful. Having the union on your side matters in you know, when it comes to politics. Most police unions are Republican. I think the head of the police union had I think it was Police for Trump shirt on or something like that during the election cycle in 2016. I wouldn't say that they're all supported by Republicans, but they're a union that is probably more Republican than it is Democrat. Getting rid of a public union like the police union would open up Pandora's box to epic proportions. Because guess what? Also, public union kind of gets thrown right in there and says, well, if we don't need a police union, then why don't we need a teacher? Why do we need a teacher's union? Because that's what some would say. We saw that happen in the state of Wisconsin. So it's a really tricky situation. Nobody wants to talk about it, because if you talk about it, then you open up the door for other public unions to come under scrutiny, even if it's not fair, even if that's a complete whataboutism, as a popular term on Twitter and on social media. But that's just a fact. That's just honestly the fact of it all, is that you're going to start hearing about other public unions. If you get rid of one, what makes you think they can't get rid of another? And you'll talk about the scary precedent of it. But the reason why Chauvin got to keep his job was because of the union. That matters. And you have to figure out a way to sort of curtail that process. And it's really hard. It's not easy. Because, yes, most Democratic leadership is going to be pro-union. I would not think that they are pro-police union, especially in these times. But if you say you're against the police union, then where, you know, again, that's people are going to immediately go to another union they don't like. And I said, well, what about this one? And what about the firefighter union, right? Firefighters have their own union. But would they then become under the same umbrella as police? Now, firefighters and police officers have a longstanding rivalry. They're the service industry. They're the service members of North Carolina and Duke, right? They don't like each other usually. And so I don't know. That's a question for someone who is much more educated than I am and that would have more answers. But that's where it starts. And if you want to kind of start decriminalizing and you want police officers to sort of do less and open it up, it's either you have to figure out a way to limit the union's strength, or you have to take lessons from places like Flint, Michigan and Camden, New Jersey, where we saw more of the, you know, positive approach and we saw the positive, you know, impact, and you saw police and protesters together as one and not apart, and learn from those cities. But those are two cities in a huge country. It's hard. It's not a uniformed decision. It's going to have to come from state and local leaders. And that's a huge problem, as we've just learned with coronavirus. But that's how our country works. That's what we've been based on. That's federalism in its finest form. One thing I did want to bring to your attention before I moved on to my next topic was Rob Glizzo. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that name, is assistant professor of economics at the UVic Economics, which I do not know where that is. I apologize to Rob here. I will look that up. But anyways, he was doing some research on police bargaining rights, the impact of police bargaining rights on the killing of civilians by race. He's early stages in the research, and I look forward to it. To sum up this thread, and I'm happy to pass it on if you ask, from the 50, and I quote tweeted it earlier today, snowtapwi.com, through the 1950s and the 1980s is where they did this study. Basically what it shows is that they found a substantial increase in police killings of civilians over the medium and long run, likely after unions were established, with an additional 0.026 to 0.029 civilians killed in this country, whom the overwhelming majority were non-white. So basically, this is sort of looking at what's going on. And Rob points out this is a horrendous result. As an active trade unionist myself, what's the takeaway? Police accountability matters, and employers, in this case, local and regional governments, have failed to bargain in a manner that protects public safety. This would be consistent with the broad disenfranchise of African American voters. If the African American population has minimal control over employer, there is no reason that they would enter bargaining with their well-being in mind. So yes, so Rob really sort of points that out, and I think it's really smart, and I think that's something that is to consider and kind of wrap up my point around police unions and then how I feel about it and why I think it's the topic none of us are topping and no one really wants to touch. All right, let's move to topic number two that I want to discuss. And I want to discuss Antifa. So Antifa stands for anti-fascist. But the Democratic Republic of North Korea is not democratic, right? We know that. We're fully aware that North Korea is not democratic. Those two things do not mix. It's like oil and water or peanut butter and tuna fish. I think that's the line of Big Daddy. But anyways, so some people are saying Antifa is good because they're anti-fascist. They fought against the Nazis that one time in Charlottesville, Virginia. You know who also fought against Nazis? Fucking Joseph Stalin. Is Joseph Stalin a good dude because he fought against Nazis? Not really. No, not at all. He's a terrible human being. So Antifa are bad fucking people, okay? They are really, really bad dudes and women. You should not get behind Antifa in any way, shape, or form. And if you do, I lose an immediate amount of respect for you. And if you don't see them as part of the problem with a lot of these riots, you're an idiot. And are there white supremacists and people on the far right that are causing these problems too? Yeah, probably. It's a bunch of bad characters. It's a bunch of people from the far sides of the spectrum that want absolute chaos. And these anarchists come in all different shapes and sizes. But do not align yourself with Antifa. President Trump made a smart decision by calling Antifa a terrorist organization. Now, there isn't really a thing you can do about domestic terrorists. It's a weird thing. Gabrielle Mailer, I didn't quote tweet this, but he had a very interesting thread about why you do this and how President Obama had done something similar with other hate groups. And it's just a way to kind of make the federal government look a little bit better. So do not align yourself with Antifa. Do not support Antifa because the president you hate said that they're a terrorist organization, okay? Like, please. Like, I'm truly begging you. And I'm more than happy to have a conversation about the problems with Antifa and what Antifa is and show you what happened in Portland and that these people are scumbags. And don't think that this is me excusing white supremacists and white nationalists and all those assholes, because they suck too. But just please, I'm begging you on that, all right? That's my, I guess, a quick PSA. A bigger topic that I wanted to talk about, I guess this would be topic three, shall we say, if you're keeping track, social media activism, okay? So there's been a lot, and I kind of mentioned this at the start of my show, that if you're silent, you're part of the problem, that you're racist. If you do not say something on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. I fucking hate that. Because you don't have to do anything and say anything, okay? It's your choice. Poor Carly Lloyd, all right? U.S. soccer player, hero, someone people revere, was getting harassed on the internet yesterday because she didn't speak out. Because Carly Lloyd didn't have something to say. And Katie Nolan, of all people, was like, Carly, you're wrong. Fuck off, Katie Nolan. Like, you know any better. Okay? You do not have to say anything if you do not feel like your voice is needed. If they are, I'm sure, and you can ask me, and now you know how I feel. But if someone were to come up to me and say, hey, Charlie, I haven't heard you say anything. Like, how do you feel? Like, what are you going through? I'd say, well, what I all said at the beginning, this is not something I deal with. I feel terrible. I feel awful for all that are involved and all that are going through this right now. And that simply put, social media activism just makes you feel good. You have a template for how you want to put it out on social media. You say that you don't understand. You feel for your friends of color, what they're going through, and all this other shit. But it doesn't mean much. You just get a bunch of likes on Twitter, and you hear like, thank you for your support. What the fuck does that do? Nothing. You get engagements that make you feel good and say, well, I put it out on social media so everybody knows how I feel. Fuck you. No one gives a fuck. Seriously. Guess what would be more impactful? Donating money. Putting money where your mouth is, if you can. Now, so I realize some people don't have the funds to do that. But put your money where it matters, all right? My sister is living in Minneapolis. Her place of work was near the 3rd Precinct. I'm very thankful for her and her where she works did not get burned down. She is organizing efforts around that area. There was a meal kit opportunity to make sure that kids got fed because 6 grocery stores around the area were looted. There were no public transportation. It was a mess. I asked her, how could I help? I donated and I put it out on social media, which I never do on my story because I saw so much social media activism. I thought there were going to be people knocking down my DMs to help out. I got one response. And thank you to Nikki who did that. Shout out to her. But one. Fucking one. And that's my point. And I wasn't doing this to make a point, okay? I really wasn't. But that is the encapsulation of social media activism. I put something out there where you could have made an immediate impact. You knew the money was going to fucking kids in the Minneapolis area affected the most. And only one fucking person donated their money. And it wasn't that much. And that is shameful. And I'm not. And look. And I know that you're like, well, I don't have the money to afford it. Okay, then. That's okay. That's fine. But I know a lot of you who follow me on my personal Instagram account have the money and could have done it. Or at least ask me the question, how much is it? And if you didn't see it, because you don't follow me on Instagram, which is fine. I'd rather you follow me on SnowTapWI.com. SnowTapWI's Instagram page. I can put you in contact with my sister. And my sister will have multiple things to help out that area in the coming days. She texted me that today. So this is not the only opportunity. And I hope that, and I wasn't trying to make you feel bad, okay? But that to me is more impactful than donating to a protester bailout fund. Because if these protesters are anarchists, like we're being told, like people are saying, these guys are anarchists, they're bad people. The guys who are looting, the guys who are doing this, and you're bailing them out of jail? Well, why are you doing that? To me, that's exactly it. You knew where this money was going, and yet you chose not to donate. I don't know. It says everything about social media activism. And I really hope that you find some opportunities to donate your time, whether it's cleaning up the city, if your city is a mess, or doing something else impactful, because that matters. And bailing out protesters who are really probably Antifa, white supremacists, and other bad actors, that doesn't do shit. I'm sure there were protesters who were jailed who were good, honest people. But I try in all my heart to believe that a lot of peaceful protesters were not arrested. Maybe they were. And maybe I just am blind to that. But that's just how I feel. And it really bummed me out. And I think that's what pushed me over to have a podcast about this today. Besides just the overall, I don't think anyone's going to be talking about sports tomorrow. But I felt sort of embarrassed that only one person did it. I'm very thankful that Nikki did. Shout out to her. But I really wish a lot of other people would have stepped up. All right, the last topic I kind of want to touch on, and then we'll wrap this baby up, is the coronavirus. So this thing known as the coronavirus, this pandemic, there were still lockdowns in a lot of these states and cities that had riots and had large protests. You looked at Los Angeles, right, and had the riots there. And you looked at what happened in Minneapolis and what happened in Washington, D.C., Chicago, New York. I think there is no real reason to have lockdowns anymore. And I really think that lockdowns probably need to end tomorrow. That I don't think there is any reason to keep things as they've been the last few months. You can't honestly defend that. You just can't. It's an impossible defense. With all the people out and about protesting, which was the right thing, and they should have, and I know people wearing masks, but just wearing a mask isn't always good enough. Really, what matters is social distancing, is what we've been told. So we have to get rid of this lockdown stuff. And trust me, people being cooped up led to a lot more bad actors. Led to people who are 18 to 22 who are just out looking for fucking trouble, okay? I saw a kid on CNN who wouldn't give his name and was talking about Minneapolis and was saying, why didn't he get his name? Well, you know, I don't know. And then one of the organizers of the protest, like, he doesn't speak for us. Said everything he needed to know. And that 19-year-old kid was probably fucking cooped up. He might have lost his job. He might have not been able to finish out his freshman year of college. I don't know anything about this kid. But that's the whole point, is that there are so many right now that are unemployed and that are struggling. And this became like a release. And I will tell you right now, if this is the start of summer and these lockdowns continue and we don't start getting back to some sort of reality, there are going to be more riots, more looting for other things. It's not just going to be, to me, I worry that it could be more of a constant than just a one-time thing. But maybe that's naive of me, maybe that's alarmist of me. I shouldn't say naive. That was the wrong word there. But the lockdowns have to end. We got to get back to normal. Even if it means being at capacity at 25% at your favorite bar or being 25% at your favorite restaurant, figure out a fucking way to get people working again. Because the longer you hold out, the more and more this thing is going to overboil. And that's what it felt like. Felt like it just was an overboiling for a lot of people who were the ones doing it the wrong way. And I commend those who protested. I commend those who got out the message. And I really do think that this is a turning point in our country. At least I hope so. I know it has opened my eyes a little bit more. And it's caused me to reflect on certain opinions I had a couple years ago. And I will say that, yeah, it's a little different. All right? We all learn. And unfortunately for me, I probably didn't do enough early on. Now, I'm not going to admit, like, do I feel guilty about that? I guess. But in reality, sometimes it takes people a little bit longer. And I think this is a watershed moment. I don't think that it's the protest and I think the peaceful part is a watershed. And in the same way, I think the rioting and the looting is another watershed for a completely other issue. Understanding the dangers of Antifa and other bad character groups like white supremacists and white nationalists. I think it's a watershed in two different areas. And I really hope that we come out of this a better country. And I hope so. I love this place. I love the United States. I would not choose to be anywhere else. And I love the city of Milwaukee. And I love the state of Wisconsin. And I love all of you. And let's go into this week on a positive note. Let's try to be nice to our neighbors and be nice to our friends. And if people want to talk, listen to them. Don't shut them out and don't shake them off. And if you want to talk to me more about this, DMs are always open. And I'm happy to talk more if you need to. All right. Take care. Have a good one. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk probably a lot about the Hoops kind of initiative. I know Adam Silver is getting that in front of the Board of Governors on Thursday, I believe. So we'll talk about that. We'll also see where baseball's at and who knows what else. All right. Take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.